You're listening to YourRightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory or to boast. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. For I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. May the Lord add his blessing now to the reading of this, his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen. For this little while, we pray now that the Holy Spirit will take us aside from the things of the world as it rushes on its way, and that the pause here will be that which truly refreshes. And so we look to you for cleansing to that end, Father, that your great Son would be honored here this morning, that your people would be built up in the most holy faith. And if by chance there's somebody here who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, the spirit of restlessness become that ones until they come to rest in Christ. We look to you now for that energy that will accomplish your desire, and thank you for attending to these things as you rebuke the evil one and give us a blessing. And these things, because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about what happens when you die. That ought to be very interesting to you, because sooner or later that's going to happen, if the Lord tarries. And about 3 weeks ago, I met a young man that came to our class, and his wife is a Romanist. He brought her along. She's not interested in scriptural things. It's one of those sad situations. But in the case, she did ask the question, what would happen if I died? And I gave her a quick answer, but not the answer I'd like to have given. I wish she could be here this morning. The purpose of God, it didn't work out that way, but I was hoping maybe she would be. But there is that question in our hearts, too. And since we are those who rightly divide, and since there are many people who are of our persuasion who believe otherwise, they believe in what's known as soul sleep, I want you to know we have a much brighter hope than that. Now, the text that we read this morning, I want to point out a few things that the Greek brings out that the English misses. And it isn't that I fault the translation, it isn't that, but our English language sometimes is not so specific. And I want to read it to you now, just as rough as I can from the English, from the Greek, so that you get to thinking in a little clearer way, because it has a great bearing on whether or not there's such a thing as soul sleeping. Paul refers here, at verse 2, to an experience that he had at Lystra, where he was stoned to death, or at least he was left for dead. His body was in the streets. The word above, about there, is really pro, it means before. I knew a man in Christ before 14 years ago, whether in not the body, but in a body. You see, 14 years later, he would be cognizant of the fact that his body lay in the streets of Lystra. Now, the Holy Spirit is always exact in what he said. So Paul could not say that he didn't know that he was in that. What he was saying is, I don't know whether I was in a body or not. He knew where his body was during that time because in the streets of Lystra. I knew a man before 14 years ago, whether in a body, I cannot tell, or whether outside the body. I want to emphasize that. I cannot tell, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, or apart from the body here, same thought. I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable things, which is not permissible for a man to talk about. Such a one will I glory, or boast, actually is what the word is. I can boast of the fact that whoever that person was, I don't know whether how I was, but I can boast about him. But concerning myself as I am now, Lord, I will not boast, but in my weaknesses. He's trying to explain something in his weakness of his flesh about a spiritual experience that he's not permitted to even talk about. That's kind of between a rock and a hard place, I'll tell you. Yet he's letting us know something if we read carefully. And it's energized the Spirit of God, or it wouldn't be in the Word, because we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and actually the word there is God breathed. So it's a living Word. It's not a dead piece of literature. It's alive. And you want to live this because it's important. I knew a man prior to 14 years ago, not the man you see in the flesh here. I knew a man that I can boast about. Whether in a body or not, I don't know. Or whether outside the body, I don't know. Or whether apart from the body, I don't know. But I knew, and this man was caught up into the very presence of the paradise of God, the garden of God. That's what the word paradise means, a garden. Persian word means a garden, and that's the third heaven. Oh, and I might say it is not the third heaven either, it's a third heaven. That's another important point, which tells us that there may be more than one third heaven. See, this again, I wish I could share with you the thinking behind the Greek article. It's such a powerful thing. It is a third heaven. There may be other third heavens, I don't know. But that's what it implies. If it said the third heaven, that'd be it. It wouldn't say that. It's a third heaven. And wherever that is a third heaven, that's paradise. That's where the garden is. from the song, probably a young person years ago. I walk in the garden alone. Here it is. The important point illustrates this, though, and should put to silence forever any thinking about this matter, that death in the scriptural sense for the saint is a death of the body. Now, there are two words for death. One is nekros. That's what we call a corpse. That's dead. The other is a Greek word, thanatos, which means a separation. In Paul's letter to 2 Thessalonians, we turn there, chapter 5. Paul could pray that prayer at this time because the Lord's coming was imminent, as far as they knew. And so he prays for God's people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart. I pray God your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless under the personal coming of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was very imminent in their thinking. This was in the Acts period when that hope was bright. So that it possibly... But now we can pray the prayer, our whole spirit and soul be kept blameless, because we have died, Colossians 3, and our life is hid with God in Christ Jesus. And when he should be made manifest, we should be made manifest with him. Whereabouts? In glory. Not here. There. Right. Let each one of these little thoughts burn in your mind, because they're very important to you. Turn to Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Notice the three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Man is essentially spirit. In our thinking, he's essentially body. That isn't true. It is proper when man dies, it's called sleep. His body is asleep. No question about that. A lady asked me this morning about that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 just a minute. Verse 14. And it's there again. The Greek needs to be emphasized here. Verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I might say in passing, when you talk to that lady, this is how the rest of that goes. Even so them also which have been put to sleep by Jesus, God will bring with him. That's the body. That's what they were looking for. You read on, you'll find talking about the resurrection of the body there. So that sleep is a perfect example. In 1 Corinthians 15, you'll notice there is a natural body that we die with, and there's a spiritual body that's resurrected, that's been asleep. Not the spirit and the soul, but the body. And Paul's experience in being caught up into that garden tells us that it is possible to be outside this body and yet be very much conscious and active. In fact, it was so wonderful he couldn't speak about it. And yet, having had that experience, turn to Philippians now. Now, I think you can appreciate what Paul is saying here with that background in mind. He was facing Caesar whether or no he would live or not. And verse 20. According to my earnest expectation, my hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. That's how Christ manifests himself in my body. On the other hand, to die is what? Gain. If I live in the flesh, this is my fruit of my labor. Yet what I would choose, I would not. For I'm in a strait, a dilemma. Now, Paul is going to keep in mind he's about to face Caesar. And if he's found guilty, why, he's going to pay the price. He said, but it doesn't make a difference whether or not I want my body that way people see will honor Christ, whether I live or die, it really makes no difference. Because to me to live is Christ, that's the manifestation of it. But on the other hand, to die is not something I'm really hipped up about. In fact, the matter is, I'm in a dilemma. Here's what the dilemma is. Betwixt these two, having desire, and I've made mention before, this is made up of two Greek words, this word depart. Ana luo. Ana is above, and luo means to turn loose. Turn loose from what? The thanatos, the separation, the death of the body, and separating what? Soul and the spirit. And as 2 Corinthians 5 said, absent from the body and where? Present with the Lord. Asleep with the Lord? No, not asleep. Present. If I was present with him, if I was asleep, I wouldn't know anything about it. Paul said he'd rather be absent from the body where? At home with the Lord. Absent from the body at home. The Lord. Paul said, I'm in the dilemma between these two, to be turned loose above or to be with Christ, which is a due motion. No, sir, it's far better. Now, Paul could say that based upon experience, too. He had been there, he had seen it. He didn't know whether he was in the body or not. Whether or not, it didn't really make a difference. He knew what was going on. In fact, he knew so well that what he saw, he was not even allowed to talk about it. And because it was such a glorious experience, lest he should be exalted by that revelation, he was given a thorn in the flesh. Not only a weakness of the flesh, but the message of Satan would remind him of it constantly. Everywhere he went, he never got away from it. And he bombarded heaven on three different occasions to be let loose from that thorn in the flesh and from that message that hounded him. And God's message came back, my grace is sufficient, because in your weakness, I'll display my strength. I don't know if you caught our broadcast yesterday or not. I got rather sentimental and I spoke on prayer. And it's in the hour of testing where we learn to rejoice. Think about that. That's how that prayer begins. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Why? The Lord's standing by. He's aware. Therefore, be anxious for nothing. Our brother down at Marlow, I'm sure his wife is anxious. If he's not, I'm sure he is too. But that's the time to say, well, Lord, that's in the purpose. That's fine. I know you're standing by, and so I want to talk to you about this. He says, let your request be made known. and be thankful that you can do it. You have access right into His presence. Did you know that no Jew ever had that privilege? Did you know that? You can come right in with boldness. We're told to do that. That hour of testing, walk right in. And rejoice. And when you do this, just talk your little talk over, whatever it is. Rejoice and say, and God promises you something here that there's no other promise like it. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts. And that word keep means to guard, to garrison, like a troop of soldiers around you, like the garrison built around you, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And beloved, if that is your experience, it doesn't matter if Caesar says you're going to be burned at the stake, you have your head cut off, thrown at the lions, or whether you got a tumor behind your eye, it makes no difference. Why? The worst thing, humanly speaking, that could happen is far better. You see, it's far better. And, if I have the privilege of ministering to anybody that's died, if you've ever been to any of my funerals, you won't see a lot of crying and bawling going on for the simple reason. The people that die, that I know that are saints, if they've known me, they'll know that that expression, well, he's better off, you know, that is not words. That's a reality. I tell you, keep in mind the first law of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. The breath of God lives in it. Think about these. These words I'm talking about are living words. They're not something that just carnal, fleshly words. They are living words. Listen. And God breathed into the man, not the man, he became what? Alive. Let these words breathe into you. And you'll be alive in a true sense of living. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish. Now the body's going to perish. But have what? What kind of life? What kind of life? That's right, beloved. I want you to hear that good. Because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about this biological life that's going to perish. We're talking about the Zoe life, the life that God has. It's everlasting, beloved. That's the hope that every one of you have if you have Christ in your heart this morning. Even if it hasn't taken hold of you to that degree, pray that it will, because the Word of God is living. It's alive. It's God-breathed. You see? We have a hope. We haven't realized it yet because we're still living in this body of flesh. And that's what Paul cried out. You remember in the 7th chapter of Romans? Oh, wretched man that I am. You see how that lives now? Who shall deliver me from what? Sin? No, this body of what? Death. Yeah. The sin was under the blood. But he's living in a body that was cursed, and everywhere he turned, he was at war with it. You are too. Those people who talk about sin as perfection really don't know what it is. It is true that the new man in Christ Jesus did not practice sin. That's true. But this old man in this body of death that we live in plagues us all the days of our life. And now listen to the hallelujah of God. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why? Because the Spirit, the law in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and what? Death. I'm not listening to the lie of Satan when he said, thou shalt not surely die. I believe I shall surely die, my body. But since I've been quickened, made alive, and have everlasting life flowing in this also, I'll be absent from that peace that perishes. I'll be at home with the Lord. See? Yeah, that's what really counts. That is the bottom line. I hate to use modern terminology, but that's the bottom line. You understand that? That's what it's all about, beloved. It's how you die that really counts. Somebody says how you live, it's how you die. It really counts. Yes, sir, we're spirit, we're soul, and we're body. Make no mistake about that. Three distinct parts that make up the man. And whilst we will have everlasting life, we will not have immortality until we're joined with that special body that he has for me. Turn, if you will, up to Philippians 3 again, in chapter 3, verse 20-21. For our citizenship, homeland, commonwealth, whatever you want to call it. It's the Greek word I mentioned before once. There's Ptulamai, which is the Greek word for politics. It's made up of two Greek words, city, citizen, and city. So it's for our conversation is our citizenship, our homeland, our commonwealth, and here exists even now in heaven. That's what the Greek says. Exists even now in heaven. And out from where, not we look, but out from where we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word homeland or citizenship is compatible from where we wait, not from the word heavens. The word heavens is plural, the other is singular. So it's where we wait. Where do we wait? In our homeland. What for? Notice verse 21. To metamorphose what? This body of my humiliation. The one I cry about all the time, you see. That it may be fashioned. You ever seen a fashion show display all the beautiful things? And that's what it'll be, see? Fashion. Like unto his glorious body. You know, John, Peter, and James were privileged to see our Lord in that condition. You remember he took them to the Mount of Transfiguration? His clothing became white, bright, and dazzling as the sun. The glory shone through. And that's the fashioning, you see, like unto his body. Beautiful, isn't it? And notice, this according to the energizing Christ, whereby he's able to put down, subdue all things unto himself. No barrier. Why? Because in Colossians we're told, notice, in chapter 2, verse 15, our Lord did, verse 15, here's what he did. He spoiled all the principalities and authorities and powers. He displayed openly his resurrection for 40 days. Spoiled him, put him to shame. Hence we read in Hebrews chapter 2, notice. It's the verse where he destroyed Satan. All right, verse 14. For as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself like took part of the same, that through death, the Thanatos, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, the word that it's an interesting word, that word destroy. The devil's very much in existence. But as far as death is concerned, and separation from God is concerned, he put him out of business. That's what he did. He has no authority. He has no authority. Let that grab you. He put him out of business. Bankrupt him. He made a show openly, triumphed over all those authorities. Had any say about death. He put him to the shame. Wherefore, you might be troubled about some loved one that's what where they are, if they're in Christ. Don't let it bother you anymore. And it isn't just a saying, it's a reality. That the minute you partake this life, you're going to be in his presence, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But we will await there with him. The day he will change this body of my humiliation, one fashioned like unto his. But I'm not going to be asleep up there. I'm going to be in his presence. And if I'm in his presence, I wouldn't even know it if I was asleep. See, I'm awake forevermore. I have everlasting life. I don't just have life. And one day I shall have immortality when I'm clothed in all of his clothes. And the word immortality is deathlessness. Thanatos is death. Athanatos is no death. And when I get my new body, and this body of humiliation is gone, I have my new one, then I'll have what? Complete all spirit, soul, and body. Immortal. Forever. Thank you, Father, for the word, for the hope it holds out to us. Help us to realize afresh your grace and what Calvary means and what you did on our behalf, what you made us to be in Christ and what you made Christ to be on our behalf. Rebuke the evil one that brings any doubts about this, Father, that this may be settled once and for all. It may be a living fire in our heart for the hope that lies ahead. Cleanse and sanctify these ends, Father, and these graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.